Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on January the 21st, 2024.
Winter is here.
Winter has been here. This has been a very cold week for us here in Virginia. At my house the other night, it actually got down to 8 degrees according to my thermometer.
According to my phone, it was 2 degrees.
Oh, wow. So it's definitely winter time. I think most of the United States have experienced this snow and things, right, and ice accumulation coming across the country. And, I'm looking forward to spring,
yeah.
I can tell you that. But, friends, we're glad you're here, and we want to thank Ray Powers for letting us be here on New Visions Radio all of these years, each and every week, week after week. I do want to say right up front that in a week or so, I'm going to be taking a little vacation, my wife and I, but maybe we can record a couple of these in advance.
Okay.
And we'll see if we can get in studio here and get that done so that we don't have to rerun anything.
Yeah.
But thanks, Ray, for all you do. We know that if we can't get in here, you'll run those for us. And Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope Ministry.
Well, you know, Prophecies of Hope has been around since 2012.
Wow. This year will be 12 years.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe.
And we're just a small little ministry, started out with a group of people getting together that want to just simply preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And it turned into this little church. God gave us a church.
Yeah.
A church building, gave us this studio that we're in.
Yeah, we should talk about that sometime.
Yeah. And he's just been directing us in our ministry. Even though we're just a few people, we have a ministry on the radio. Since you're listening to us, you know that. we have, you know, personal Bible studies with people. We have people joining us on Zoom for our studies from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just amazing how God can use just a few people, just a simple little ministry to help spread the gospel.
It really is. You know, remember that Jesus said that the gospel will be preached in all the world to all the nations, and then the end will come in Matthew 24.
Right.
And it seems to me that this is being done these days, that the gospel is being preached in more places than ever before, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
It seems like that prophecy is being fulfilled.
Given the technology we have today, it's pretty easy for someone in India to join us for our Bible studies.
It is. And that's on the other side of the world from where we are.
And this person gets up real early in the morning to join us.
Yeah, actually, let's see. I think they're about either 12 or 14 hours ahead of us. So when they come in, it's late at night.
Okay.
But if we're having our Bible study, it is early in the morning if we're doing the Wednesday night Bible study.
Right. So, we meet every Wednesday evening for a Bible study, and that's at 7 Eastern time, and that's you're welcome to join us via Zoom.
Yeah.
And then we have our church service on the Sabbath or Saturday, which is the seventh day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Bible study at 9:30, and then our worship hour at 11. And we have just started a new program in terms of kind of a prayer meeting / testimony time / just interaction time on Monday evenings.
Yes. And you know, I think at the outset we had talked about doing that every Monday. I don't know if it'll be every week or every other week, but if you would like to know when that is or any of these links, people can email us.
And yes.
Ed, how do they email you?
You can contact me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
And you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can email us at office@prophecyhope.com. And give us a little time to reply. I get a lot of emails because of so many things that I'm involved in. So sometimes if you email me, I'd really try hard to check them every day. I really do. But sometimes I get wrapped up. Like yesterday, I didn't check yesterday. But I will be checking it this evening after we're done with this program. So give us a little time to reply. And I think that's all the business we have, right? And we always, every week, we begin and we end with prayer, as we should with any Bible study. So, Ed, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're just so grateful for this gift you've given us of your word, the Bible. where it gives us information about the love that you have for us and the love that Christ, your Son, has for us and the hope of salvation we have through this great gift that you've given us of your Son. It also speaks of prophecy, of things yet to come in the world before your Son returns. Father, give us wisdom and knowledge as we read these things in the Bible. Give us understanding of how they can inform us of the times that we live in, and guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, you know, Ed, we were talking about the weather and how cold it is, and I noticed I have these headphones on, and I just want the friends to know, if you're listening through headphones or something like that, you might hear our furnace running in the background, because it is really cold here. You might hear that little fan running, I'm not sure. But it's not distracting at all. So in the last few weeks, actually probably for a month or so, we've been looking at what chapters of Daniel and Revelation?
Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation 13, two chapters that really coincide with each other. They talk about the same events, only from a different viewpoint. Mm-hmm. Daniel looking ahead into history, and John in Revelation looking back in history some, but also looking forward in history as
from his time, his time point. And remember that when Daniel gave the prophecies that he gave, and he interpreted the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, he was going from his time period all the way through to our future, wasn't he?
Right, until Christ comes again.
Yeah. So these things are so important that we know and understand this, because, you know, to know, one of the things that I think is very important, Ed, and I'd like your thoughts on this, why would you say it's so important that we understand how Christ comes and what's going to happen when he comes?
Well, for one thing, so we're not deceived.
That's so important.
You know, Jesus in Matthew 24 talks about there's going to be a false Christ.
Right.
You know, and he says, don't be deceived by them.
Yeah.
And so one way to know that is know what happens when Christ comes again. What does the Bible say? What did Jesus say about his coming again?
That's exactly right. So when we think about, you know, what took place in the Garden of Eden, we have this great deceiver who wants to mislead people.
You know, why is it important to know who the real Christ is? Because others will deceive you, and deceive you to the point that you will not be ready for Christ to come again.
Very true.
That you don't have your life in order through the power of a living Christ.
Yeah. And also, if we don't understand Bible events and what Daniel says and what Matthew that you mentioned a moment ago and what Revelation say, we can misunderstand things like the tribulation.
Right.
So many people, and even Jesus coming, and, you know, is there a rapture and how that takes place?
Yeah, what does that really mean?
There's so much deception, and that's the thing. People are really deceived, as you said. They're deceived into believing that they're going to have a period of time to get it right.
A second chance.
Yeah.
So the Bible doesn't talk about a second chance.
No.
This, in reality, is our second chance we have right now, because Adam and Eve are the ones that brought us to this point in terms of having to deal with sin in our lives.
Yes.
And this is our second chance as the human race to get it right.
Amen. What we do with the life that we live is the opportunity that God has given us, because Adam and Eve, they messed up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he made a way for us to show, for us to make the choice. Do we want eternal life with God and his Son, or do we want eternal death?
And just to be clear, this life that God has given us the opportunity to have is not through our own power.
Right.
We are saved by the death of Christ in terms of we've been reconciled to God through his death, the forgiveness of sins, because he bore the penalty of our sins. But we're also saved by his life in terms of becoming obedient to God through Christ working in us.
Where is that text, Ed, where we can read that, where everybody
Romans
can see
5.
It? Can we just to set up this study and why this is so important? You know, people might be saying, a lot of people are very interested in these prophecies anyway.
Yeah.
But it's not just there for fanciful information. It's not like a Hollywood thing. These prophecies are here to prepare us and to prepare our hearts and to get us ready. So this text that you just cited.
Yeah, let's go to Romans 5. I'm going to read verses 6 through 10.
Okay.
And to me, personally, this means a lot to me, this section of Scripture. It's made a big difference in my life. But it also, I feel, this is just a simple explanation of the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, "For we yet, being without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Without strength to become obedient to God, without strength to live our lives according to how God created us to live, and thus we are living in sin. But in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, those living in sin, me.
That's right.
"For one will with difficulty die for a righteous one, yet perhaps one would even dare to die for a good one. But God commands his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies," we were actually enemies to God and his son.
Yes.
"When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So this tells me a couple of things. That when you feel like you're not good enough, that's okay.
Yes.
Because you're the person Christ came to die for. When we were enemies of God, when we were held captive in sin by Satan,
right,
and how we live our lives, that's who Jesus came to die for, people like you and me.
Right. Yeah, a person that feels good doesn't need a doctor, right?
Yeah.
If you're in good health, you don't need a doctor, but if you feel bad, you need to go to the doctor.
Right.
Well, Jesus is the physician we need to see,
yes,
and we need to know.
And so he took the penalty of my sin, my disobedience to God, upon himself on the cross. And that brings us reconciliation with God, because now there's no more sin to interfere with our relationship between us and God, because sin separates us from God.
So,
but when I accept this gift of Jesus' death on the cross, and I'm cleansed of my sins because of that, I still have life to live. The devil is still seeking to destroy me. I still have to make choices in my life.
That's right.
How do I continue in that state of reconciliation, that state of obedience? Well, it's through the life of Christ. It says we shall be saved by his life. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father."
Amen.
There's power in Christ. He's got the experience. He's been on this earth. He's been tempted in all ways like we have been, yet without sin. He knows how to save us, to help us overcome sin in our lives. And he also brings the power of the Spirit of God into our lives as well.
Amen. So this is an important message. This is the gospel. You know, we hear a lot of talk about the gospel.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting. I just off the cuff here, I see in this area where we live, sometimes I'll see a sign up that says Full Gospel Church. And, you know, the thing is, when I've talked to people that go there and I'll ask them, they don't understand what the full gospel is a lot of times.
The gospel, I would say it's split in two parts. The gospel's of Christ dying on the cross for my sins, yet we still have left to live. So God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father," whereby we can overcome sin. And this is the second half of the gospel story.
So
remember, the wages of sin is death.
That's right.
Ezekiel 18 tells us that the soul that sins, it will surely die.
Mm. So go ahead. You were going to.
I think there's so much of Christianity teach that once I'm saved, I'm good. I can do whatever I want.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
It doesn't say that.
And what you read in Romans is helping us. If we read Romans 5 through 8, we see that we can't continue in those ways, right? And that the devil's constantly trying to pull us into that. And the only way that we can overcome is by what Christ did for us.
Yes, and what he's doing for us today.
What he's doing for us now. That's exactly right. So along with what you're saying, what you read there, before we get into the study, and this is kind of a sidebar, but everything, all these things point right to what we're talking about. And this is why it's so important.
Don't let somebody deceive you and tell you that the gospel is something other than what Paul preached.
That's right.
Jesus is someone else other than who Paul preached.
So, yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what happened to even in Jesus' day.
Yes.
They were saying, he wanted to know who people thought he was, right? Yeah. Who are people saying that I am?
Oh, he's Elijah, he's Isaiah, or Jeremiah, one of the prophets.
Right. And then Peter, what did Peter say?
He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
And the thing is, when Peter said it, he knew what he was saying.
Yes.
The problem is today when people say that, they don't know what they're saying.
Right.
Because they don't believe that he's truly the Son of God.
Right.
And so from what you said there about that person who when you read it there about it says in Romans, it says, scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
When we were unrighteous.
Right.
When we were enemies of God.
But he did that, Ed, to help us. He did that and lives again to help us not to continue in that way. And that's why I made the comment that I did about a physician. In fact, I looked it up, and here it is in Luke chapter 5. Jesus had just healed someone.
Uh-huh.
He had healed the paralytic. And there was some the controversy between the religious leaders and Christ in those days. And so here's what it says in verse 27. This is Luke 5:27. It says, after these things he, that's Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting in a tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So if I'm following Christ, I'm going to be doing the things that he does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be breaking God's law, doing immoral things. I'm going to be living according to the Spirit, right?
Yes.
So it says in verse 28, this is Luke 5:28. So he left all, that's the tax collector, he left all, rose up and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And the scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Yes.
And this is what you're reading about in Romans.
Yes.
Of course, Christ died for everyone. But those of us who are living a life that's not approved of God are the ones that need him the most.
Yes.
And the ones that need him to help us turn around from the things that we're doing.
God desires that everyone be saved.
Amen.
But not everyone desires to be saved.
Right. So in order to know Christ, in order to understand this, this is so important at the end of time, right before Christ comes, because the devil is not going to go away in this world. He's going to continue to bombard you. So I don't want to be deceived into believing that if Satan wants to impersonate Jesus, which that's what he tries to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to be deceived into following the devil instead of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Revelation 12 talks about Satan knowing that his time is short.
Yes.
And is going around like a roaring lion seeking to devour people.
Yes. So this leads us to where we are now, and believe it or not, in Daniel 7 and Revelation 13, because there's a great deception. And we need to know Jesus instead of following a church or religious leaders or anything like that, because you will be disappointed. And that's why we tell you, don't follow this ministry.
No.
If you want to listen to the radio programs or watch the sermons, that's fine. But read your Bible and see what it says to make sure the things we are saying are correct or incorrect.
Our purpose in being is to direct people to the Word of God.
Amen.
To study it for yourself. Make it your own belief. Make it your own faith. Follow Christ.
That's right.
That's our whole purpose of our ministry.
Amen. And so what happens, I'm guilty of this, Ed. I'm as guilty of this as anybody that I know, is I grew up in a church and I believed that that church was the true church. I called it the truth.
Yes.
And I would have gone to my grave believing that had I not had somebody not asked me a simple question that made me open my Bible and read it.
You know what, Mark? I grew up in a church, too, not the same church you did.
Right.
That says the same things. We have the truth.
A different denomination yeah. than what I grew up in, and your church said the same thing.
Yeah, and let's face it, most churches say we have the truth.
Right. So the only way we can know that is by going to God's Word,
yes.
by praying the prayer that we not be deceived, that He will show us the light of truth through His Word
yes.
and by His Spirit.
Yes.
And so this is so important. The closer we get to the end of time, this is really important because it seems like things are ramping up, right? There's more ways for me to be deceived today than there was when I was a kid
yeah.
through YouTube and the internet. That wasn't there when I was a kid.
Yeah. All those things can be used for good.
Absolutely.
For furthering the gospel, but oftentimes they're used to deceive people.
Do you know how many times I've gone to YouTube to find out how to fix something in my house?
Yes, so have I. Believe me.
You know, whatever it is, I'll go there and there's a video on how to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, you still have to sift through. You still have to go through to find. Just the other night, I was working on a program that I was working with the OBS studio.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know how to use it. And I noticed that there were two files on my desktop that I could not get rid of. I couldn't delete them. Well, there were 10 videos on how to do it, but I had to go through all of them. And finally, when I got to the one, it was the shortest video.
Mm-hmm.
It was a minute and 37 seconds. And the guy, in just a few steps, he says, if you're having this problem, watch this video, and I'm going to show you how to get rid of the folder. And sure enough, he did it. So it's the same way in church. It's the same way with when somebody on the YouTube channel or YouTube screen or whatever it is tells you something. You can't always, it's not always true.
Right.
Right? And they might sound like an authority. These people that I was watching, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But they didn't. It didn't, not in my case,
yeah.
right? So this is why when we read Daniel 7 and Revelation 13, we need to have at least a basic understanding of who this is or what this is that we're talking
right.
about, right?
So when we look at Daniel 7, we're looking at the little horn that comes up among
yes.
the 10 horns and destroys three of those horns, so three of those kingdoms.
Right.
In Revelation, we see the dragon give its power to the beast, its mm-hmm. seat and authority. That beast and the little horn are the same power. They have the same descriptions. Revelation may have one or two characteristics different,
mm-hmm.
or that Daniel doesn't have,
right.
and Daniel will have one or two that Revelation doesn't have. But when you combine them together, you get a full list of characteristics of who this power is.
Right. You get the full picture.
Yes.
And so we looked at those things, like you were saying, about the little horn, about the three that were uprooted. There's a number of characteristics that we looked at. We looked at the time and dividing of time. So we're not going to go through and describe those things again. Those
right.
are in previous programs. And I think we're up to the point to where we need to identify. We need to actually put a name to this if we haven't followed it historically, you know, because sometimes people don't study history and we may not know. So, Ed, did you have somewhere you wanted to go before we continue? Or you
no, let's just, why don't we go over the characteristics again?
Okay.
Do you have a list?
I do have a list. I have to go back and... I've got a PowerPoint presentation that I made a long time ago. So here we go. One of the things that we found out, and this is by studying Revelation chapter 13 and Daniel 7, is that this kingdom comes up among 10 kingdoms,
okay.
right? And that we actually discovered they were in Western Europe, and we can discover that by history. We also found that there were three that were plucked out. That's what you talked about,
yes.
these three kingdoms.
They were the Heruli,
yeah,
the Vandals,
yeah, that's right,
and the Goths,
Ostrogoths, and
yeah.
I always, the Vandals always stick out to me because I remember one of the characteristics. They were called the Vandals because they would actually go in and get and vandalize all of the false idols,
yeah,
that were in certain places.
And that's, you know how I remember Heruli?
How's that?
Something you said about hurling. That's how I can remember.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That is funny. You know, I try to do memory exercises. When somebody gives me a name, I associate
but
it with
something. But those people groups, There's 10 of them.
Yes.
And the 7 that are left are modern-day Europe.
That's right.
The 3 that were destroyed, they were destroyed through a combination of religious and civil powers, mm-hmm. basically papal and pagan Rome.
Yes.
And the reason they were destroyed, not only were they fighting against each other, but it was because of a religious belief.
Right.
A belief that Jesus is the Son of God.
So, yeah, the ones that actually believed that Jesus was the Son of God were the ones that were destroyed.
Yes.
And people will say, well, wait a minute, doesn't every Christian church believe that? Well, that we'll get to that eventually.
Right.
We're going to come around to that. But you might think that your church teaches that, and you might even ask, and they'll say, of course we believe that. But as you dig down and you really dwell on that topic and you see what the Bible says, you find they don't truly
right.
believe it. So the third characteristic, did you have a thought?
No, go ahead.
It is that it would have a man sit as its head or who would speak for it.
Right.
Right? And so, you know, some of us might start thinking it would be diverse or different from the other kingdoms.
Right.
That because remember those other kingdoms, this kingdom is going to last all the way down to the end of time.
So some of the differences between the normal kingdoms of the world, they were all civil kingdoms.
Right.
This kingdom we're talking about, this beast that we're talking about in Revelation 13, is going to have civil and religious
yes.
authority.
Yes.
He was different from those other kingdoms.
Exactly. So now, for those who are listening this evening, the pieces should be starting to fall in place. It would also war with and persecute the saints of the Most High.
Right.
We talked about that.
And has that happened in history?
It absolutely has.
A period of actually 1,260 years, or
right.
in different places it talks about 42 months, the same time period, or a time times and a half a times, which
right.
is 3.5 years, all the same period of time, 1,260 days or years mm-hmm. in Bible prophecy.
Right. And so when we look at that, there was a power that actually persecuted the saints through that time period,
yes.
during that time period. It would emerge from a fourth kingdom of iron, we're told.
Right.
Right.
It's this dragon, that fourth kingdom, that gave the beast its power and seat and authority.
Right. And you already covered the time, times, and half a times. That was one of the things, one of the identifying characteristics. And then there's another one, is that it would speak pompous words of blasphemy. It would
yes.
speak these pompous words against God.
And when we looked at blasphemy in the Bible, it can be claiming to be God,
right.
claiming to be able to forgive sins, which only God and His Son, Jesus Christ, can do, or claiming to be Christ.
Yes. And that's right. And so the final part, the ninth identifying characteristic of this power is that it would intend to change times and law. And it's not necessarily in that order, but it's one of the nine identifying characteristics. What does that mean, Ed?
Well, when we look at these things, the vision that Daniel was given was concerning the Jewish nation. The vision that John is given is concerning the future of the Christian church. And so it's in relationship to the people of God. That's who it affects.
Yes. And you know, also it has to do with a particular time period, doesn't it?
Right. And those time periods that relate to the Jewish calendar, which is 360 days,
mm-hmm.
so that's how you can determine a year plus 2 years plus a half year equals 1,260 days.
Right. But we're talking about changing times and law, right?
Right.
Instead of the 1,260. So how did this power change times and law, I guess, is the question I wanted to ask.
Yes. Well,
I need to be specific, don't I?
As I was talking, I lost. What are we talking about? But yeah.
When we
look at these visions, they were related to God's people.
Mm-hmm.
God gave his people a law called the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
So it talks about changing times and laws. What in God's Ten Commandments does it talk, or where in God's Ten Commandments does it talk about time?
Actually, it would be the commandment number 4, when it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
In 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day.
So that's actually in Genesis, isn't it? Genesis, the first and second chapter.
Yeah, and this is, in the Ten Commandments of God, God is telling them, remember, I'm the creator of the heavens and the earth. Remember, I set this day aside from the work of completing the work of creation.
Right.
And so this is the law of God that men have changed, have tried to change.
Yeah, that's why it says intending to change times and law. So there's a couple of ways that this happened, too. It wasn't just in trying to shift the day of rest and worship from Saturday to Sunday, but it was also even in how we reconcile our time, the end of day.
Yeah.
Right?
In terms of the Bible creation, evening and morning were the first day. Evening and morning were the second day, and so on.
That's right.
So man has changed it from midnight to midnight.
Yes. But God, it was that when the sun sets, one day ends and the next one begins, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So let's just talk about this for just a moment. So we've talked about these nine different characteristics, right? Go ahead.
I've got another one.
Oh, go ahead.
The deadly wound was healed.
Oh, yeah. You know, what I was going to do, and when we sound this down, there are 11 characteristics.
Yeah, you're just looking at what they have in common.
Yeah. And so there are a couple of other things that do, because what I was going to do, and we don't talk about these programs before we come on.
We just kind of
come on and just hopefully God is leading us to say what we need to say. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, we forget stuff because we don't have an outline to go by. And that's what happened with Ed just a moment ago. But
it's called old age.
You're not that old. Yeah. But, you know, just think about this for a moment. So far out of the nine, I've given lectures in the past about there are nine identifying characteristics of this power that's called the Antichrist.
Right.
And that's what we've just looked at.
Right.
Right? And so when we think about that, let's keep going with where you were going to go. Okay. So you were talking, because we're going to put both of these together.
Yeah.
So
a deadly wound that was healed. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the characteristic of the beast of Revelation 13.
Right.
And so this power received a deadly wound at the end of those 1260 years, or in Bible prophecy it talks about days, 42 months, times,
right.
times, plus half times, same period of time, same reference. So this authority, this power, would have a deadly wound.
Yes.
What would seem to be a deadly wound, but it would be healed.
Yes. So what took place? There was something that happened in a specific year. Do you remember the year?
1798.
Okay.
From 538 AD to 1798 is the time of this 1260 years.
Right.
During that period of time, this power persecuted the people of God severely.
Yes.
During this time, the Reformation occurred.
Okay.
If that gives you any hints. You have reformers protesting.
Okay.
The current religious and civil power, because they wanted to obey God and worship God according to His word.
According to the freedoms that God gives us to worship, right? And so I think we talked about this weeks ago. They wanted something like I think you mentioned this this evening. Civil and religious is what this power was, but they wanted freedom they wanted the freedom to worship as they wanted to.
Right. What happened during this period of time, the religious authority would decide all the civil governments, who's in charge, who is going to be king, and so on. So in essence, they were in control of both religious and civil governments at that time.
Right.
And the religious portion of it would make claims against people who wanted to worship God according to the word. And then they would turn them over to the civil authority to put them to death and torture them.
So you should be cluing in on this. People should really be getting this now.
And the end of the 1260 days, 1798, Napoleon's general Berthier went into Rome and took the Pope captive.
Mm. Okay.
This is the deadly wound. And within a year, the Pope died in captivity.
Okay. So now if you haven't figured it out by now, then we're just going to have to spell it out for you. But there was one other thing that identifies it and settles this in that might help push things over the top. It's identified by a number, Revelation 13, verse 18. Yes. Do you have Revelation 13, 18?
I can get it real quick. That?
And because it's really interesting how that's worded. You know, in fact, what we might do before we actually give
God. 13.
13, 18.
18, all right.
What's it say there?
Luke doesn't work, does it?
Not for Revelation. I've got all Revelation right. 13.
Yes, 13, 18, Modern King James. Here is the wisdom. Let him have reason, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and its number is 666.
Wow.
So it talks about the number of a man.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying the color 7.
Yeah, that's strange, isn't it?
Not until you think about it. If you do anything with photography or videography, colors are numbered. Usually it's a combination of letters and numbers,
okay.
But you can make your own color, and it will tell you exactly what that is. So if you want to use that again, you just type in that, and it will bring that color up again.
Okay, all right.
So in terms of a name, how do names correlate with numbers?
You know, that's interesting. Sometimes by the words or the letter might be numbered, huh?
Right, and remember, this is the time of Rome.
Right.
What do they have in Rome?
Oh, you know what? The Roman numerals are actually letters, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So the name of this man, the name that's used to identify this power, the numbers correlate to 666.
Isn't that amazing? And, you know, this is not a new idea.
This is, the Reformers knew this.
So I think it's important. Why don't we do this? Do you want to read Revelation 13 through?
Sure.
And then we'll that way it lines up all of those things for us again. And then let's go back. And, you know, for those of you, some of you may be Catholic, don't be offended by this. We're not pointing you out. We're just simply pointing out what the Bible is saying, okay? We're not saying that Catholics are lost.
No.
That's not what we're saying in any way. But these are things that we need to know. You know, how do you think Nebuchadnezzar felt when he was told that his kingdom would be destroyed, right?
If you're on a road and the bridge was out up ahead of you, wouldn't you want to know?
Yes, I would. I would want to know.
Even though you think this is a safe road, it's a new road, it's great. You know, I can go fast, the road's smooth.
Yeah.
But if that bridge is out ahead of you, and it's dark out, and you don't know it.
Right.
Don't you want somebody to tell you?
Yes, I do. I really do. And so let's read. What we're going to do is we'll read Revelation chapter 13, and then we're going to go back and take some time and look at what some of the Reformers had to say.
All right.
Okay? And hopefully, I think we'll have time to do that. So did you want to read some of this, or do you want
to? Let me read verses 1 through 10.
Okay.
This is the Modern King James, starting in verse 1 of Revelation 13. And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. On its horns were 10 crowns, and on its heads was the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, its feet were those of a bear, and its mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him its power, and its seat, and great authority. And I saw one of its heads as having been slain to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the earth marveled at the beast, after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with it?" And a mouth speaking great things were given to it, blasphemies, and authority was given to it to continue 42 months.
Mm.
And it opens its mouth and blaspheme towards God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those dwelling in heaven. And it was given to it to war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given to it over every tribe and tongue and nation. And all dwelling on the earth will worship it, those whose names have not been written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity will go into captivity. If anyone will kill with a sword, he must be killed by a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints.
Okay, so I'll pick this up in verse 11. I'm reading from the New King James. This is Revelation 13:11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So I hope, you know, this is what we were summarizing,
right?
Consolidated.
We were pulling the characteristics out of this beast, out of these verses, as well as those in Daniel 7.
That's right. So in Revelation 13:1, we see that this beast would rise from the sea. Well, and we talked about waters in the past, waters being great multitudes of people.
Right.
So who else could fit this characteristic other than the papacy?
That papal power, yeah.
It has to be because of where it comes from. It would be a composite of the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7, which were Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, right?
Where it gets its power and seat and authority.
Right. And then I think we already talked about this weeks ago, that those, you mentioned it, Ed, about the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the ten-horned beast. And the fact that these all represented those kingdoms,
right?
And the ten-horned beast, this or nondescript beast actually, is none other than this Roman power.
Yeah.
And so it says the beast must receive its power, seat, and capital and authority from the dragon in Revelation 13:2.
Right.
Right. We just read that, and it would receive a deadly wound, which you talked about a moment ago.
Right. It would persecute God's people.
Right. So you see all of those things right here. What power fits all of these different characteristics,
especially
other than them?
For that time period.
Right.
From 538 AD to 1798, that 1260 years.
That's it. And the other thing, the one thing about the, you mentioned the name, the Pope is known, one of the things, the title of the Pope is Vicarius Filii Dei. And if you take that and look at it in Roman numerals, the Reformers had it figured out that that equaled 666.
Right. Now, not every letter has a numeral value,
that's
but
so
just the ones that do.
Right. That's what they total. And so, you know, when we think about these things, what I was trying to do is I wanted to look at some of the things that the Reformers had to say about this power and who it is. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to find my, I have a PowerPoint. Oh, that's why I can't find it. I'm in the wrong, I did a presentation on this, and I think I just found it. I think this is it. Nope, it's not that one either.
See, we plan ahead a lot, don't we?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I had it opened before we came today, and yeah. And what happens is I use my computer for other stuff sometimes. So here we go. Let's just, and I'm going to come back. I see a slide I want to come back to. Men who saw the papacy as the, believe it or not, many might not like this, but we are talking about the Antichrist power.
Yes.
Right? That's what we're talking about.
Define Antichrist.
Well, a lot of people think that Antichrist means against Christ.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think, when I see the Pope, I don't think he's in opposition to Christ. I don't think he hates him. But it means in the place of or in the stead of Christ.
The Antichrist puts himself in place of Christ.
That's correct.
Or in place of God.
That's what Antichrist literally means. It's Antichristos in Greek. Anti right. literally means in place of. Well, how can we say that he puts himself in the place of Christ? Who is our high priest, Ed? Who is
Jesus Christ?
Jesus Christ. But if I'm a Catholic, who is my priest?
Whoever your local priest is.
You
go to confession. Who claims to be able to forgive your sins.
Right.
Which is blasphemy.
Which is blasphemy. So we see right there, we just covered a couple of characteristics just that quick. Just that quick. And this may be new to some of you. So go ahead.
Do you understand that the Catholic Church knows that the Bible teaches that the Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week?
They surely do. They know that. They admit that.
But as their mark of authority,
right,
the mark of the beast, they claim to have changed through their own authority, the authority of the church, the authority of the Pope, the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, from the seventh day to the first day of the week.
Right. And they admit that they've done that. That's yes. what they call their mark of authority. So, you see, when the Bible talks about the Antichrist power, someone who puts themselves in the place of Christ, and it talks about this beast power, they are one in the same.
Yeah.
They're one in the same. The only difference is the beast power has two more identifying marks than the Antichrist, but it actually gives you more detail about the Antichrist.
I don't think we're saying that other belief systems cannot be incorporated into this.
Absolutely.
As well.
Right.
Remember, the beast and the harlot on the beast in Revelation 18 has daughters.
Right. And that if that's the daughters, they're going to follow their mother.
Yes.
Right? And so that's a very important point, because I know that the church that I came from, even though they believe it's the truth,
right,
it's very much set up like the Catholic Church in so many ways. And I can see so many identifying marks in that church that fit the same characteristic. So that's a great point, Ed. We're saying that the papacy is basically the one that is at the helm, who is leading
right.
it. But there are many denominations that are involved, and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. So we look here, Martin Luther, he was a Lutheran, and here's what he said. He was actually the one that nailed the 95 Theses to the door on Wittenberg right. Cathedral, right? He was one of the first reformers. And he says, proved by the revelations of Daniel and John, by the epistles of St. Paul, Peter, and Jude, that the reign of Antichrist predicted and described in the Bible was the papacy.
Yeah.
That's what he says. That's Martin Luther. John Calvin, if there's any Presbyterians listening, John Calvin said, some persons think us too severe and censorious when we call the Roman pontiff Antichrist. But those who are of this opinion do not consider that they bring the same charge of presumption against Paul himself, after whom we speak and whose language we adopt. I shall briefly show this. Remember who is speaking here. This is John Calvin, a Presbyterian. He says, I shall briefly show that Paul's words in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 are not capable of any other interpretation than that which applies them to the papacy. Wow.
You know,
you got to get on your mic there.
Sorry. Wow. You know, I've read some of what Martin Luther has written,
mm-hmm.
and he talks about visiting the papacy in Rome.
Oh, really?
And he says this must be the gates to hell.
Really?
Because of the debauchery, the morality that occurred in that place.
Yeah. you know, think about it, friends. And this might, if you're a Catholic, this might sting a little, and that the intention is not to hurt you. But, you know, within the Ten Commandments, we're told that idolatry is wrong. And there's so much idolatry.
Yeah.
And not just the Catholic Church, but in the Episcopal Church and in many different churches. There's lots of idolatry. And we look at all of these different things. John Knox, he was Scotch Presbyterian. He said that tyranny which the Pope himself has for so many ages exercised over the Church. And he said, it's this quote here, this is from the Zurich letters. It says, as with Luther, he finally concluded that the papacy was the very Antichrist and son of perdition of whom Paul speaks. And I'm not going to read all of the quotes, but the Anglican Church, this is what they believed. The first Baptist pastor in America, Roger Williams, this is what he understood. He understood that that was the Pope. And, you know, Westminster, we have a road here in Fishersville called Westminster, and yeah. It always throws me. The Westminster Confession of Faith says, there's no other head of the Church but the Lord Jesus Christ, nor can the Pope of Rome in any sense be head thereof, but is that Antichrist, that man of sin, the son of perdition, that exalteth himself in the Church against Christ and against all that is called God. These are powerful statements.
The reason they say those things is because this is what the papacy has done.
Yes.
They're not making this up.
No, they're not. The Methodist Church also. John Wesley. I know those of you who are Methodists, I know you know who John Wesley is. He felt the same way. He says that the papacy is in an emphatical sense the man of sin as he increases all manner of sin above measure. And he too is properly styled the son of perdition as he has caused both death and numerous multitudes, both of his opposers and followers. He it is that exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, claiming the highest power and highest honor, claiming the prerogatives which belong to God alone. So, you know, it's amazing. Sir Isaac Newton, Wesley, Whitfield, Jonathan Edwards, Spurgeon, Bishop, J.C. Ryle, all of these people profess that the papacy is the Antichrist power that is spoken of in the Bible. So it might be shocking to some of you who are part of a background of some of these, because your ministers many times won't speak of this because it's not popular.
You know, when you look at today, the world we live in right now, who's trying to bring the world together?
Yeah, the Pope is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you belong, you know, think about this. I don't know that I've ever mentioned this here on the radio program, but there is, here in Virginia, there's a chapter, a group of people called, and they use an acronym, LARCUM, L-A-R-C-U-M. And that word, it stands for Lutheran, Anglican, Roman Catholic, United Methodist. So the first one on there is Lutheran. We just read a statement from Martin Luther.
Yeah.
And even the Methodist Church, I read a statement from there. And so when we think about this, we have the Anglican Church, the Baptist Church, Calvinism, Congregationalist, Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, all of these recognize this in their writings, in their books, in their teachings. But today they're not talking about it. And so this LARCUM is trying to bring all of these groups together to say that the Reformation is over. And go ahead, Ed.
You know, this is what prophecy predicted.
Yes.
That all the world would wander after the beast.
We just read that in Revelation 13, didn't we? So we see that even though these people had protested, they broke away, they tried to worship, they wanted to worship God in spirit and in truth. I believe that was the intention of these men who started all of these denominations. I think that was their intentions when I read some of the things they wrote. But what do we have? We have them compromising as time goes on, and we start becoming politically correct, and we start lining up, and we're doing exactly what the Bible says would happen toward the end of time.
Let me read Revelation 13, 7 and 8.
Go ahead.
And it was given to it, the beast of Revelation 13, given to it to war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given to it over every tribe, tongue, and nation, and all dwelling on the earth will worship it. Those whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Wow. So there are going to be some that will not follow the beast of Revelation, that will not worship it.
Yeah, you're right. And how do we not worship the beast? That's a good question.
By being obedient to God and his commandments versus being obedient to this beast to say, you have to come to confession to have forgiveness of sin. God can't forgive sins.
Wow.
You have to worship on this day that we have set up
right.
versus the day that God has set up. You have to bow down to me, a priest or the Pope, versus bowing down only to God and his Son, Jesus Christ.
So we can see that people, as unintentional as it may be, they're following men instead of God and his Son.
Yes.
And so this is why these things are so important, so that people can know these things and come out of her. The Bible tells us, and maybe that's where we can pick up next week, what does that mean, come out of her, my people? I think that's a
great
place.
Let me read Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not be partakers of her sins and that you may not receive of her plagues. So there's going to be a judgment.
Absolutely.
People are going to experience the wrath of God for being disobedient to him.
You're right. So, you know, maybe this is where we can pick up in our next program next week. We're out of time already. It's hard to believe. And friends, we're really glad you tuned in. Let's close this with prayer. Did you have a thought before we close?
No, go ahead.
Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for your word. And while some of these messages might be difficult for us to hear, I know that there were many things in my life that I didn't want to hear. But Father, may we just take them for what your word says. May we believe it. May we just pray. We just pray that we're not deceived, that we can just follow your word and follow your Son, Jesus Christ. Please be with us, Father, till we come again together again next week. We ask for your blessing to be upon us throughout the new week. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Did you have any thoughts, Ed? Last second.
No, there's a lot here.
There is. And we'll unpack this as the weeks go by. And again, I know this might be shocking to people, but we want to know what God's word says.
Yes. And we want to follow God and his Son versus men.
Amen.
No matter what church they
Amen.
Come from.
That's right. So friends, we hope you'll tune in again next week right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday evening. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.